You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
In today's interview, I am delighted to welcome Annie MacArthur and Holly Gallagher to talk about indie theater, LGBTQ plus representation in plays, and their upcoming production, Stranger Things, the parody musical, and She Kills Monster. Both award-winning shows will premiere at the Sydney Fringe Festival this month in Sydney. They're produced by the Epiphany Arts Theatre Company, where Annie is the artistic director. Holly is the lead actor in She Kills Monsters, played Joyce in Stranger Things, and is also a second-year student at UNSW and an artist. I am so excited to welcome you both to talk about the amazing work you've been doing. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Annie, can you start by telling us a bit about what Epiphany Arts Theatre Company is about?
Yeah, Epiphany. I actually started Epiphany in the 90s. So it goes back 30 years when I was part of the Sydney indie grassroots theatre scene. And we were actually the first company, I think, that brought independent theatre into the pubs. And it was all about 90s grunge, you know, pop culture. And basically flatmates and, you know, living on each other's couches and all that sort of stuff. And I've never lost that. So even though we're going 30 years into the future, I have never lost the love of the 80s, 90s theatre scene and, well, just the whole culture. But to be able to license shows from New York and to bring them to the Sydney stage with this group of young actors and performers is, yeah, absolutely a dream come true.
Your company has been called the Brad Pack of the Sydney Fringe Festival this year. How do you feel about this label?
I love this label because the greatest films growing up were the John Hughes films. The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, St Elmo's Fire. These are all films that defined a generation, defined Gen X, which I'm a part of. And I think John Hughes was really special because he spoke to teenagers and represented teenagers as being important, as having value, as being respected human beings. And I think that that is lacking a lot, especially in our culture today. In our rehearsal room, we want everyone to feel completely safe and be completely authentic with who they are and to speak in the language that they speak in and to have their thoughts, no matter how unpopular they might be outside of that room. So it has a little bit of a youth club vibe, you know what I mean? Like it has a little bit of that. But what's great about that is that it's a family. People feel like they belong. They don't walk in there feeling like I have to be someone else or I have to pretend or I have to be, you know, judged by others. And it reflects in the work.
Yeah.
Because the plays and the musicals themselves are of a higher quality. Despite not having high budgets, they really understand the craft of acting because they understand what it is to be themselves. They understand what it is to think the thoughts of someone else. They understand how to relate and how to respond. And they're not just behaving as if or presenting you with something.
Also feel like in environments where maybe there is more of a rigid structure or a rigid, like, authority figure, right? I feel like, you know, at Epiphany, as Annie said, all of our voices are allowed to be heard. Like everyone can chip in with ideas or what they think the take on the character should be, etc. Everyone's just comes in as them and yeah.
Ollie, at just 19, you've already done a lot of things. You're doing acting, directing, teaching, studying and composing your own music, I think. How do you juggle all of those roles?
Honestly, all that I'm interested in is just to tell stories and to communicate with other people. And, you know, music, acting, drama, teaching, writing, like all of those things to me is just kind of a different outlet to get at that same thing that I'm really interested in. But it's all stuff that I love, so I don't get tired, you know.
I read that LGBTQ plus representation is a very central aspect of both plays. And I'm wondering what inspired you to make this such a strong focus on your thoughts on this.
That's funny you should say that because I actually think that both plays don't have the LGBTQ theme as their central premise. I think that it just so happens that there are characters who are gay. What I love about it is that it's so normalized.
So in Stranger Things, how did you balance celebrating the 80s nostalgia with creating something fresh and funny for today's audience?
That's a great question, because obviously the 80s nostalgia is a major point in that show. I think that we've made the sense of humour hit for this generation. So you are watching this show with a 2025 sensibility.
I feel like, as well as, like, because it's a parody, it's also parodying the 80s nostalgia as well. Like, it's really poking fun at, you know, like the 80s mums doing aerobics at the mall. Like, it's just taking all of those kind of stereotypes that we have about the 80s, especially, I think, maybe like my generation who didn't live through that. It's like what we see in all the 80s movies that our parents have made us watch and whatever, and it's maybe more of a like parodied, stereotyped version of that.
Yeah, and also I think what's great about the 80s to portray now is the poor parenting, because that is true. And people ask me all the time, is it true that you didn't have to go home till the streetlights came on? Is it true that you had to drink from a garden hose? You know, that none of that could be real. Like, how is it that you weren't all kidnapped or murdered or whatever else? It is true. It was an incredibly safe, but it was an environment where everyone knew everyone and other people's parents knew you as well as your own did, which is not much at all.
In terms of like the 80s and then obviously like my generation as well, like obviously we grew up with like Gen X parents who lived through that and raised us on those films and things like that. So I do think there's like a lot of romanticizing it as well.
It was just such a fun time because pop music, really, because the decade was defined by the music you listen to.
In She Kills Monsters, as we've talked about, you show nerds and queer kids not as outsiders, but like they're the main characters. And how and why do you think this resonates so strongly with today's audiences?
I mean, I can jump in. I feel like, to a certain extent, even the most normal conservative people, I think everyone feels like an outsider on some level. You know what I mean? And I think that a show like She Kills Monsters can kind of draw out that part of you. Everyone can kind of relate to that narrative on some level.
Definitely, the pressure to fit in. I mean, yeah, even if you are in those popular groups, the pressure to stay popular.
Yeah.
I mean, it's constant judgment, isn't it? And the fact that you can be brought down so quickly by just a mean word or a mean text or whatever. And I know these plays are from a different era, but the bullying in the 80s and 90s went unchecked. It wasn't something that was ever dealt with at school. I know because I was there. Like, it was character building as far as they were concerned that you learnt to deal with it. And if you didn't deal with it, then that was on you.
If you had to pitch the shows, each of them, in one sentence or like very shortly to someone who's never heard of them, what would you say?
Okay, it's a Dungeons and Dragons romp.
Yep.
With a kicking 90s soundtrack where you get to fight dungeon queens, homicidal fairies, monstrous ogres.
Yeah.
And find the warrior inside us all and champions the geek and warrior in us all.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, wait, I should try and do
one
this
sentence.
One
sentence, it's hard.
Since you did She Kills Monsters. Stranger Things is a musical parody of your favorite TV show with all of its 80s nostalgia and a few more dance numbers and songs.
And, you know, heavy synth. poor parenting.
Bowl cuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of smoking, at least for me.
More hairspray than a year 10 formal. I think that, yeah, Stranger Things is just an incredibly loving and yet hilarious send-up of your favourite Hawkins gang. And, you know, if we start singing Running Up That Hill, we expect you to join in. Yeah.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.